spiritual orphans. Yes, our communities are full of them. There's no one to be their spiritual parents, no one to feed them and protect them and love them and train them. And so there are thousands upon thousands of these spiritual orphans lost to the cause of Christ. And you know, teacher, their number is increasing, and no one really feels responsible for this new convert. Now, don't misunderstand me. The new birth is a must, and it is the beginning. But don't forget that it is a birth, and the babe then needs to be brought into a vital, warm fellowship in the body of believers. And they also need specific, individual, parental attention. And that's where you come in, teacher. You know, your example of helping others in a personal way will be caught by your class. Let me give it to you as Edgar Guest says it. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely show the way. The eye's a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but example's always clear. And the best of all the preachers are the men who live their creeds, for to see the good in action is what everybody needs. I can soon learn how to do it if you'll let me see it done. I can watch your hands in action, but your tongue too fast may run. And the lectures you deliver may be very wise and true, but I'd rather get my lesson by observing what you do. For I may misunderstand you and the high advice you give, but there's no misunderstanding how you act and how you live. I think one of the greatest ways that we can learn about this matter of helping others on an individual basis is to look at the example of how the Apostle Paul did it. First of all, he spent personal time with his converts. Did you know that two out of the three of Paul's missionary journeys were for the purpose of following up on the converts? In Acts 15:36, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do." Paul checked up on new believers. And in spending time with them, he taught them how to live the Christian life. Now, Paul was not panicky about setting an example before the converts and then telling them, follow him. In Philippians 4:9, he said, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Now, I expect for most of us that's rather a scary statement, isn't it? To be able to say to a young convert, "If you do what I do, you'll be following Christ," means, of course, that we must be walking a very yielded and obedient daily walk with the Lord. Another good lesson from Paul is that he prayed for his converts. Sometimes, you know, he was forced to leave a city shortly after he had won someone to the Lord. But it's amazing how these new converts were constantly on his heart. He longed to be with them. But since he could not, he constantly prayed for them. And again we read in the New Testament how he prayed for them. For instance, if you'd like to look some of them up, check Philippians 1, 9 through 11, Colossians 1, 9 through 11, Ephesians 1, 16 to 20, and Ephesians 3, 17 to 20. And the reason I mention these specific passages is because they've been a tremendous blessing and guide for me in my praying for others down through the years. Paul could not always see these young believers when he wanted to, and so another thing that he did was he would send someone else of like mind and heart. You know, your own schedules sometimes will put you in a situation like this. Do you have someone of like mind and heart that you can send to help this new convert? To the Thessalonians, he wrote, "When we could no longer forbear, we sent Timothy to establish you concerning your faith." That is found in 1 Thessalonians 3, 1 and 2. Now, another thing he did was he wrote letters to the converts. In fact, most of the New Testament, the epistles, are Paul's letters to those that he loved in the Lord and to those that he had helped. Through these letters, Paul encouraged and exhorted and comforted and rebuked these younger converts in the faith. Maybe you're wondering, why did he take so much time following up these new believers when obviously there were yet many, many people lost Well, the reason is because he had a goal, and that goal is the same goal that God has for every convert. The goal is listed in 1 Thessalonians 2:12, that ye should walk worthy of God. Ephesians 4:13 gives us another look at it, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect, mature man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Paul's goal and God's goal for every single believer was full maturity in Jesus Christ, real Christ-likeness. Well, if we're not helping others, then apparently God's goal and our goal has not been the same. God wants every believer to be like Jesus Christ. Paul said that his goal was that he might present every man perfect or mature in Christ Jesus, Colossians 1:29. Paul wanted to help others in order to bring glory and honor to Christ. We'll never go very far in helping others, teachers, until our mind is one with thoughts such as Paul expressed in 2 Corinthians 12:15, where he said, "And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved." You see, there is a cost in loving others and helping them to mature in Christ. It is a very costly procedure. It'll cost you in that you will be spent in hours of prayer and counseling, seeking answers, and just loving that one. And then it'll cost you because there's a price in developing that one to be God's woman and not to be your follower. Because you see, we'll be answering to Almighty God as to the character that we help build into this person's life. Now let me just suggest that in this matter of building character, don't ignore her natural abilities and gifts. So that then you can say with Paul, "I pray that you will live good lives, not because that will be a feather in our caps, proving that what we teach is right. No, for we want you to do right even if we ourselves are despised. Our responsibility is to encourage them to do the right at all times." In 1 Corinthians 13:7, Paul writes, "If you love someone, you will be loyal to him no matter what the cost. You will always believe in him, always expect the best of him, and always stand your ground in defending him." And teachers, the word to us today is then, always love them and never give up on them. Do you have someone that you are caring for in a personal way today? Would you adopt a spiritual orphan? You know, the communities are full of them. And then set about loving this one and never, ever give up on them. Listen to the words of our Lord as I close our visit today. "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." I pray that you are involved in the business of having lasting fruit. Fruit that remains by your involvement in a personal way in being a spiritual parent to a young babe in Jesus Christ. Blessings on you, dear teacher.